You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Welcome to Breadline from the Australian Unemployed Workers Union on Community Radio 3CR.
So put down that job plan and listen to us.
I'd first like to acknowledge that this program is being broadcast from the lands of the Wurundjeri of the Kulin Nation. So their sovereignty was never ceded, and we want to pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging. And we also acknowledge that the unfairness of the welfare system disproportionately affects First Nations people. And hello from Jessica.
And hello from Daryl.
Yes, good to be with you again. And yes, so as we said in the intro, this show comes to you weekly from the Australian Unemployed Workers Union. So the union is a nationwide organisation of people unemployed or underemployed, and we stand for the rights of all of us to really have a fair life and not suffer harassment because of our situations.
Yeah, exactly.
We have got an advice number for anyone who might have a concern about their situation, whether with Centrelink or the job service providers. That's 1-800-289-848. And, later on in the show we're going to be talking about suspensions. And, of course, there's nothing that wrecks your week more than a suspension. So
yeah, you can send an email into us as well to the union at auwu.org.au.
Yep. And Daryl actually works on the advice line. And, you mentioned a call you had last week.
Yes, I did. There was a guy, he's on Job Seeker, but he's registered with a DES, a Disability Employment Service. Again, they're trying to get this guy to sign a release of confidentiality form. Now, I've said time and time again, do not sign them. There is no advantage to you whatsoever by signing that form. You don't have to sign it. And if they cannot do any sort of retaliation for not signing it. And in fact, if they give you anything to sign, even if it's your job plan, they must give you a couple of days to take it home and go over it so you can go over it with friends and family if you like, if you don't understand, or you can give us a call if there's something in it that you don't like. So,
really important. I think certainly I remember last time I had a job plan, I remember you just sort of can't wait to get out of the office, really. So you often feel a bit like signing anything. But what you're saying, Daryl, is put the brakes on there.
Oh, yeah. Don't take anything lying down.
Yeah, that's right. And, of course, they're in a powerful position, as we know, with their power to suspend. They are actually able to make your life pretty hard.
Yeah, but it's all one way too. Like, if they do the wrong thing, you have no recourse. Well, you can always appeal any suspensions and cancellations, of course, which many of us have had to do from time to time.
Yeah, in fact, the CSA that we usually put on is about if you're trying to appeal a Centrelink decision, then it's pretty important, and it's great that we've got an organisation that can help people with that.
Yeah.
So a few things sort of stirring me up this fortnight since I was last on the show. One thing is that I started to look at report we have about the Select Committee on Workforce Australia Employment Services, which almost exactly a year ago tabled its final report. And, of course, the committee chair said this first principles review is the first of its kind since services were privatised by the Howard government nearly 25 years ago. And he said, it's harsh but true to say that Australia can no longer has an effective, coherent national employment services system. We have an inefficient, outsourced, fragmented social security compliance management system that sometimes gets someone a job against all odds.
No longer. I like how they say no longer. It was doomed right from the very start.
That's right. Well, I think. We could have told them. But what particularly stirs me up is that it's a year since that. Quite strong statement for a chair of a committee. He said also, it should not be controversial to state that full privatisation has failed. Even the previous government implicitly admitted this by bringing in a large caseload back to the public sector with Workforce Australia Online. And that's what we talked about 2 weeks ago, basically breaking up with your job service provider and going to the online services.
Yeah.
So, and again, he's saying that they are admitting that it's a mess, so you are actually allowed to go to the public system, which is Workforce Australia Online. So, happened a year ago, and unfortunately, nothing has happened. And of course, we shouldn't be surprised. We know that often the process of doing an inquiry is basically makes them happy.
Yeah,
so it means they've ticked the box, they've inquired, but then we are once again, as I said earlier, people who are on who have to meet a job service provider, people on Centrelink, all the other whole range of services are all suffering through the system, which they admit is not working.
Yeah, yeah. And isn't it funny how they never ask the people that's on the front line of all this?
Oh, no.
it's always people, stuck in their office, a world away from the real world.
That's right, yeah. And so what the union did a couple of months ago was a really good investigation. I've talked about it before on the show, but they did it with The Guardian, and they really went thoroughly into the way that the job service providers are failing. So they talked about the fact that when you complain about your job service provider, often the information is directly given back to the job service provider if you complain to the government advice line.
Yeah.
So it means that really you might easily suffer the consequences for making a complaint. So that's something else to sort of bear in mind.
I've never heard of anyone. That's retaliation from the job provider.
Yeah, you haven't had any examples of that.
Yeah, I haven't had any examples of that so far. Maybe someone has, but they've never haven't mentioned it or don't know about us.
You're listening to a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned to hear the rest of your 3CR podcast.
And we've mentioned the chasing of participants' payslip information. In this expose, we mentioned that job agencies have systems in place and staff specifically employed to chase down payslip information from clients so they can maximise their outcome payments. In their submission to the Workforce Australia inquiry, the Salvation Army said that one of their Workforce Australia programs employed 47 workers dedicated to chasing participants' payslip information.
Just for that, 47 workers?
Yeah. And we also had the example of Nathan, who told The Guardian that he got himself a job as an assistant manager, and at Work Australia cut his payments because he wouldn't give them the pay slips. Another person said that when they found their own part-time job, APM contacted her employer without her permission to chase up those slips. So,
I'd like to hear more about that story. Like, did the employer give APM payslip details? Do we know that?
This is all mentioned in this article in The Guardian. I'll be able to sort of find that for you later on.
Yeah.
So, also a link on this media release, which I've got in front of me, is some information about the suspensions. So, those suspensions are, this is data from a 3-month period last year, from October the 1st to the 31st of December 2023.
Right.
So the first thing to note is that there are some job service providers who are tailored, in quotes, to Indigenous job seekers. So they are actually listed there as, for example, suspending 875 participants, another thing called the Waalji Foundation Limited, 360. So again, as we say in the intro, quite often that First Nations people are disproportionately affected by the social security system to start with.
This was only over a 3-month period.
That's right.
Wow.
And this is Yilabara Solutions. They made 945 suspensions. So if you look down the data, you see that at Work Australia, for example, and I know that they're in my town, Wonthaggi, they've carried out 18,000 suspensions in this three-month period once again. Wise Employment Limited, 10,665 suspensions. And if we understand the data correctly, that first one, that one I mentioned, Yilabara Solutions, they've actually suspended per client, they've done a suspension for each of their clients. So, it, again, we've talked about this before, the fact that if you have been suspended, you'd, if your rent is due, for example, that is puts you in a very awkward situation. And that these are punitive suspensions. And
They don't give you a lot of time before they do suspend your payments, do they?
That's right. So then if you look at the stats, the top, the company that does the most suspensions in this, again, data from a three-month period is APM. So they they carried out 32,220 suspensions. Just shocking. That's over 2,600 per week.
So when they, with that, with numbers like that, where do they get the time to help people find jobs?
Yes, maybe send them on a course, something like that. So, so sorry to come in with all this bad data, but it's really, I
It's got to be said.
And I suppose that's what we're here for, to try and give solidarity to the people who have had these suspensions, and just call us if it's possible. We will help you sort of get back.
That's why we're here, the Australian Unemployed Workers Union. You know, any problems like that, please give us a call. Don't muck about. Get straight onto it immediately.
Here's another one. Shoreway, they're in my town as well. 5,265 suspensions. So not a good look. Not a good look at all.
No, no, certainly not.
The new book has come out about robo-debt, and it's called Mean Streak, and it's by Rick Morton, and it's described as his unmissable book on the bureaucratic incompetence, willful cruelty, and self-serving politics that was robo-debt.
Oh, sounds like a good book.
Yeah, bit of detail here, but at the end they say that without the investigative skills and persistence of advocate Asher Wolf and the journalist who took up her story, a lot of these abuses would not have been exposed. And she said, I no longer have any hope that anything key will change as a result of the robo-debt scandal. I feel like I've seen something that I can't unsee. I also feel like I was naive and missed things I should not have missed. Anyway, keep your eye out for that in the bookshops, and I think you can probably get it online as well. Mean Streak.
Oh, sounds like a good book.
Another thing that happened in the last week was in Wonthaggi, we do renters' rights sessions. So we just do them once a month, and it's similar to what Rahu does. Rahu is the Rental and Housing Union, and I know they've been running renters' rights sessions, but we've been doing that for a few years actually down our way. And unfortunately, it was quite upsetting last week. We had, first of all, a woman came in, and because she was worried about her tenancy, because she, first of all, she thought it was unlimited, like public housing. Then she got a year's tenancy, and then it changed to 6 months. So she was worried about it. So she was basically being quite friendly with the estate agent, and she sort of made various errors, like allowing the estate agent to come and inspect her house while she wasn't there. And basically we got our lawyer who helps us to sort of give her some strong advice about the fact that got to get things back, not on a pally-pally basis with the estate agent, who's already been quite rude about her house, which she's entitled to be able to live in the way she wants. And also the fact that you should do everything in writing when you deal with these people. So that was quite upsetting, and she actually got pretty upset while she was describing it all. Then
And it's important to note, if you write any correspondence about your rental house, is you always address it to the landlord, not to the estate agent.
Well, again, photographs of things, that's what, and documentation and so on. But then the second lady who came in, that was even more upsetting in a way, because she was trying to help her brother, who's in some kind of horrific accommodation in Carrum Downs where there's no heating, so he's buying kerosene for a kerosene heater to try and keep himself warm. And She just said to me, surely it can't be right if you're on the DSP that you end up spending all your money on your rent. And
yeah.
I said, unfortunately, you know, that, you know, we know on this show that often people do end up spending all their payments on rent and then they have to scrape around to try and get food.
Get food, yeah.
And or borrow from family for bills and so on. So, yeah, just that really upset me because she's completely right. It should, you only should have to pay a percentage of your income towards rent. The fair thing with public housing is actually it's ruled at 25% of your income.
Yeah.
The rent is kept at that.
Yeah, but you try and tell a private landlord that, though.
Oh, that's right. Well. But, you know, it was just, she was just quite upset on behalf of her brother. So, yeah, not good. But anyway, we'll keep on onwards. Mm. And I'm glad we've got those sessions at least in Wonthaggi. And I think both of them felt at least supported in a way by us.
Yeah. Still a big worry, though. We all know that more people are looking for places to live than what's available.
Yeah.
You know, and someone that's, you know, on a six-month lease, and 6 months is, you know, goes really
it's
quick.
It's nothing, yep.
Yeah. And, yeah. You know, so you're concerned about that, where you're going to live. Like the last private rental I had, it took me 9 months before I found something. And even then, it was a two-bedroom flat. I couldn't find a one-bedroom flat.
Mm.
So I was finding a two-bedroom flat, paying for a two-bedroom flat, and I was living on pasta and canned tomatoes, bread. I was buying the cheapest bread you could get. And I swear, they pre-stale it before they sell it.
Yeah, well, that's why I'm glad I get the bread from Woolies. Just as they're throwing it out, we grab it before. But, so coming towards the holiday season, we will have a holiday program on Breadline where there'll be a bit of singing. So that will be coming up closer to that period. And we're also going to be doing a bit of research about where the free food is around the area in the holiday time. Yeah, just another reminder, if you do need rental advice and you're in Melbourne area or anywhere really, just go into rahu.org.au. And you'll be able to sort of find, they've got a lot of useful info there, which could actually probably help save you a lot of, again, that lady who we spoke to down Wonthaggi, you know, if she'd known that she had to document everything and not assumed, because there were lots of texts coming through from the estate agent that the estate agent was actually pally because she wasn't.
Yeah. Oh, look, you know, in situations like that, it's always important to keep a detailed diary.
Yeah.
Of all correspondence, all whether it's face-to-face, email, telephone, whatever.
That's right. Now everyone's got a camera, you know, so those photographs of the supposed marks on the wall, and supposedly the bathroom tiles weren't up to standard. So there you go. Anyway, so we're nearly at the end of the show. Don't forget to tell your friends, listen to Breadline every Monday, 6 o'clock.
Yep.
And if you have any problems, ring our advice line, 1-800-289-848 or auw.org.au.
Beautiful.
Okay, thanks for that, Daryl, and you'll hear from us next week.
Sure will.
Bye.
Bye for now.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.